I do have some sermon guides for children.
Okay.
So I'm having my lovely assistant pass them out. Raise your hand, Joey will give them to you. And we'll get this down to my level here. I'm going to pray before I start. Lord, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for moving among us, Lord. I thank you for the testimonies that we've heard this morning, for the words of praise, and for the prayers that we've lifted up, Lord. We thank you for hearing us. Lord, be with me. Lord, may you speak to this church this morning out of your word and by your Holy Spirit. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I am going to teach out of the book of Acts, and I'm going to talk about when the Holy Spirit came on the Ephesians. That the principal part of this story is in starts in the middle of Acts 18 and goes through Acts 19. I won't be going all the way through Acts 19. But I'm going to start, actually, with a prologue in Acts 16. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to turn to Acts 16, verses 6 through 10, we'll look there first. The purpose here, as I think was the purpose of God in the Holy Spirit in giving us the book of Acts, is to understand the Holy Spirit's role in bringing the gospel and establishing his church. And for us, it's to consider how the Holy Spirit can work in our church and in our lives. So let's keep this in mind as we go through this story of when the Holy Spirit came on the Ephesians. Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. I'll read it. You can follow if you have your Bibles. And they went through, they is, by the way, Paul, along with Silas and Timothy at this point, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately, turn the page, we sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, they were forbidden at first. This is number one for your sermon notes for children. At first, Paul and his companions did not go to Ephesus because they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. This, by the way, is talking about the Roman province of Asia, which is in the southwestern part of Asia Minor. This is a significant location in the Roman Empire, by the way. And it appears that Paul wanted to go there to preach the gospel. It was a logical next step from Phrygia and Galatia, but the Holy Spirit prevented them from going into the province of Asia. Ephesus is the capital, was the capital of the province of Asia. So the Holy Spirit prevented them to go to Ephesus here in Acts 16. How did the Holy Spirit forbid them? It doesn't say exactly the method that the Holy Spirit used. Later on, we see that Paul had a vision in the night of a man from Macedonia. This is actually to the west of where they were rather than to the south of where they were, who was calling and saying, "Come and help us." But it doesn't say exactly how the Holy Spirit forbade them to go in Ephesus and prevented them, by the way, to going to Bithynia, which was to the east. But understand this, if the Holy Spirit had spoken audibly, the Bible would have told us that. because the Bible does spell this out, like when there's a vision or when the Holy Spirit speaks. And so I take it that there was an inner witness going on here, that Paul and his brothers were looking to preach in Asia, but there was something inside that that the Holy Spirit was speaking to them inside, saying, no, don't go there. And so understand this, that sometimes God says no to us. In this case, though Paul didn't know it at the time, the no was actually a not yet. Because God had something big in mind for the Ephesians and for the province of Asia. There was a great revival that happened there about 2 years or 3 years after this. But at this point, the Holy Spirit was saying, no, Paul, not yet. Now, when Paul got this vision in the night. By the way, it looks like Luke joined them because he goes in his narration of the book of Acts, he goes from a they, Paul and Silas and Timothy, to a we, which then includes Luke. The Bible says that, let's see, let me find that again, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is something to do when you have some sense by the Holy Spirit, whether it's an inner witness or a vision in the night, a sense that God is calling, is talk it over with your companions and look to see what the Lord may be saying. And so this is, it appears what happened is that Paul had a vision in the night, and he discussed it with Timothy and Silas and Luke, and they together came to a conclusion that God was calling them to Macedonia. Now, it's kind of a logical conclusion when you have a dream that a man from Macedonia is saying, come on and help us. But it also appears that they talked about it, probably prayed about it, and they came to the conclusion that God was calling them to Macedonia. That's where Philippi existed. You've heard the letter to the Philippians. That's where Thessalonica was, the major towns of Macedonia, Philippi, Thessalonica. And so churches were planted there, and then they went down from Macedonia to the south into Achaia, where Corinth was the principal city. And so the church was established in Corinth. You've heard about the letters to the Corinthians. So all that happened before Paul got back to Ephesus. I take from this a couple of verses to go with this. 1 John 4:1 says, test the spirits to see whether they're from God. So how do you discern if a prompting, an inner prompting, or a vision or a dream is from God? You test the spirits. It doesn't go into detail about how to do that, but there are a couple of suggestions here. You test the spirits by talking it over with your companions in the Lord to get their feedback. You test the spirits by praying to see what God may be doing and see if there's a confirmation then from your brothers and sisters, from your own heart, that this is indeed the way God is calling you. As you understand here, Paul was gaining experience. He was at this point a practiced follower of God in the Holy Spirit. He or whoever wrote the letter of Hebrews later rebukes the people that he's writing to. He says, you should be teachers by now, but instead you need milk. And he said, solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So it helps to have your discernment what be trained by practice in doing what's right and not entering into sin, and following the Spirit. So Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, I expect by this point, had been practiced in discerning the voice of the Lord and what they're doing. And I want to encourage you, if you want to grow in that discernment of the Holy Spirit in your lives, then practice distinguishing good and evil in your life. And you'll grow in the discernment of the Holy Spirit in your life. So let's go on to Acts 18, verse 24. So I'll just give you a narration of what goes on before. Paul was in Corinth preaching for a couple of years, probably a year and a half or so. And there he met a couple named Priscilla and Aquila. He actually lived with them, apparently. He worked with them. They were all tent makers brought the gospel to Corinth. And then Priscilla and Aquila traveled with him when he left Corinth. He was heading back for Syria, Antioch, the church that sent him. And Priscilla and Aquila traveled with him as far as Ephesus, and they stopped there. Paul went into the synagogue to preach, apparently just one time, and then he left and took the ship to back to Syria. And Priscilla and Aquila were there now living in Ephesus. And so in verse 24 it says, "Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that Christ was Jesus." So, who was Apollos? Apollos, by the way, is mentioned 10 times in the New Testament. He's mentioned a number of times in the book of Acts and a number of times in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. He's also mentioned in the letter to Titus. So Apollos was a missionary, a minister who taught about Jesus to the churches after this point in time when he came to Ephesus. But the description of him is interesting. He's a Jew from Alexandria. Alexandria was second only to Jerusalem as far as being a center of scriptural studies at that time. Alexandria was a major city in Egypt. And it had a school there for those who wanted to learn about the scripture. It looks like Apollos had been a part of that rich Jewish community in Alexandria. And it says about him, I mean, look at the positive qualities that he had. He was eloquent, that he could speak well. He was competent in the scripture. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was fervent in the Spirit. He spoke boldly. He spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, but he only knew the baptism of John. Hold that thought, because we'll get back to it when we get to the next chapter. There was something that he had not yet picked up. about this gospel that he was preaching. And so Priscilla and Aquila took him aside. Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned six times in the New Testament, three times here in the book of Acts. And they're also make an appearance in the greetings in 1 Corinthians and in Romans and in 2 Timothy. They had a church meeting in their house. They were companions of Paul. Paul obviously had affection for them. He greets Priscilla by her nickname, Prisca. I'm glad her nickname was Prisca and not Prissy. It would be kind of fun talking about Prissy and Aquila, but you know, I prefer Prisca. Any Priscillas out there? Prisca and Aquila were not known as great preachers. Apollos obviously was. They were not known as missionaries. They had a church in their home. And yet they heard what Apollos was preaching, and they took him aside. They didn't rebuke him publicly. They took him aside. And they taught him the way of the Lord more accurately. The Holy Spirit is an important part of the gospel. Apollos needed to understand that, and so Priscilla and Aquila took him aside. I'm impressed by the humility of the people in this story. Priscilla and Aquila, just humbly taking him aside and telling him about the gospel as they received from Paul. And Apollos, who probably had a lot of reasons to be confident and maybe to be proud, and yet he humbly received from this couple that had been living in Ephesus for a while, but apparently not preaching as he was. And yet he received from them, and a bond developed there, because when he wanted to go then to Achaia, to Corinth, where Priscilla and Aquila had recently lived, and they knew the church at Corinth, they gave him a recommendation. They said, hey, you guys in Corinth, this guy is good. Turn him loose. Let him minister among you. And he was probably worthy of being turned loose because he was eloquent. He was well taught. He was bold. He was fervent. And now he knew about the Holy Spirit. So turn him loose. And they turned him loose. And he greatly encouraged the believers in Achaia. 1 Peter 5:5 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And God gave grace and a greater grace to Apollos, because along with all those other things, he was clearly a humble man. Ephesians 4:30 also says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Rivalries, divisions, grieve the Holy Spirit. And I'm just impressed by the unity that was displayed here between Apollos and Priscilla and Aquila. So, we'll start in chapter 19 now. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. And hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. I skipped through a couple of your questions for the children's sermon notes. Sorry about that. But here's one. Paul said to them, did you receive the blank? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? This was important to Paul. It's the first thing we hear about, at least, that he said to this group of disciples in Ephesus, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, no, we haven't even heard there's a Holy Spirit. I think functionally, very often, the church in our time functions as if it hasn't even heard of the Holy Spirit. Well, we've heard about the Holy Spirit. We believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit here, and we want to see the Holy Spirit working among us. Paul explained then, and it's a little bit cryptic here, because when they said, no, we haven't even heard there's a Holy Spirit, and he asked them into what were they baptized, he said, well, that was a baptism of repentance. And John told the people to believe in the one who was to come afterward, that is Jesus. So Paul didn't go into some lengthy explanation of the Holy Spirit. He said, this is about Jesus. Now, the Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. This is about believing in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is all about faith. Paul didn't start talking about, oh, yeah, God, the Spirit will do signs and wonders. You need the Holy Spirit. That's not the point. Paul said, the point here is to believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. And, you know, if we stop with repentance, what happens is that, and I've experienced this, the continual fighting from, you know, the rear guard action with those things that I've repented of. And not really defeating those things. Because we defeat the world by our faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is all about faith. The Holy Spirit ministers life and faith to us. And that's the point. The Holy Spirit is connected to faith in Jesus Christ, the faith by which we live. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Interestingly, this is in the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit does a work in us that guarantees, that gives us an understanding that yes, we have something in Jesus Christ. Yes, we have an inheritance in the Lord, and the Holy Spirit ministers that to us and speaks to our hearts about what we have in Jesus Christ so that we can go forward in faith and conquer the world by our faith. Paul didn't go into signs and wonders when he started talking to the Ephesians about the Holy Spirit, because regeneration and transformation are more important to the Holy Spirit than signs and wonders. Okay, you got that? I don't see evidence that Paul was seeking a dream when he was in Troas being forbidden to go into Asia. But the dream came to him, or the vision came to him, even when he wasn't seeking it. The Holy Spirit works like that. The wind blows where it will, the Bible says. It's good to be open to the Holy Spirit and to seek Jesus Christ and to live by faith. The signs and wonders will follow. we don't need to worry about that or be preoccupied with that. So, the last point in your sermon notes for children, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And it says in Acts that they began to speak in tongues and to prophesy. Now, what's this about speaking tongues and prophesying? It's interesting that there are three times similar experiences in the book of Acts. By the way, the official title for the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. It could just as well have been named the Acts of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is mentioned throughout the book of Acts, 42 times in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is named. So in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, you know, Jesus had promised the disciples, he said, wait until the Spirit comes on you and you'll receive power when the Spirit comes on you and you'll be my witnesses. Okay, so there's power to be his witnesses. And when the Holy Spirit came with tongues of fire, the believers went out in the street and they began speaking in tongues about Jesus, so that, you know, it was a holiday and there were a lot of people who spoke different languages in Jerusalem, and they could hear the disciples talking in their languages and talking about Jesus Christ. They became his witnesses. And then in Acts 10, when Peter was told in a vision, you know, God prepared him to go and speak to this gathering of Gentiles in Caesarea. And so he began relating to them about Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit fell on them. Peter and the disciples didn't understand that this stuff about Jesus and the Holy Spirit was not just for the Jews. It was for the world. Praise God. But the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles just as he had on those believers in the upper room, and they began speaking in tongues, and they began extolling God. They also received power to be his witnesses. They were declaring the wonders of God. And then we have this experience in the church in Ephesus, where Paul laid his hands on this group of believers. They were already believers. They just didn't know that there was a Holy Spirit. And Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them in a very visible way. And they also began speaking in tongues. And they began prophesying. And prophesying, again, is speaking the truth. Speaking the truth about God and about Jesus Christ. They're speaking forth the truth. And we should not be surprised when the Holy Spirit comes on us to find ourselves inspired to speak the truth. And sometimes the truth is too great for us to express. I think that's where tongues comes from sometimes. There's just something too wonderful happening inside, and we've got to let it out. And we don't know what to say. And so we can speak in utterances that words can't express. But we're declaring something to the whole spiritual realm that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus has come, that Jesus has conquered the devil, that Jesus has brought life to his people, and that life comes through the Holy Spirit. John 16, 13 and 14, when Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to the disciples, he said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." And so we should not be surprised when the Holy Spirit comes and fills us, that we begin to hear in our own hearts and hear from the tongues of our brothers, receiving guidance into all the truth, because the Holy Spirit is taking what is Jesus, and he's declaring it to us. And I loved to hear the praises here this morning, because we are declaring to each other the wonders of God. So let me give some counsel here. First of all, to young Christians, pay attention to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is real. We believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to us to lead us into the truth about Jesus Christ, to give us life and to establish us. Have faith in Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit is all about faith in Jesus Christ. Stay humble. Remember that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I've seen too many people, when they're touched by the Holy Spirit, kind of go off on their own with some kind of sense of, oh, God is speaking to me. Stay humble. Don't quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says simply that. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. How do you quench the Holy Spirit? By wandering off into old ways. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Be open to receive counsel, because your companions in the Lord can help you discern what the Holy Spirit is doing in your lives and how the Holy Spirit may be leading you. And be a disciple. Be a disciple. Because he who is faithful in little, it says this a few times in the Gospels, he who is faithful in little will be given more. So as we're faithful to follow the Lord and to receive from the Holy Spirit, he will give us more. So now my counsel for older Christians, all of the above. Do not neglect the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be functionally in the place that the Ephesian disciples were before Paul came to them. Not even being aware that there is a Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Lord, we seek you. Lord, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and we long to see your Spirit at work among us. We're open to signs and wonders, but more than signs of wonders, we want to know your life, Lord. We want to hear your truth. We want to receive your truth spoken to our hearts, so that we can be set free and be transformed into your likeness. And so we say to you, our God, send your Spirit to us. Bless us with the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives and in our church, for the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.